Hello and welcome to Black Gold, a five-part series that digs deep through the 3CR archive to present Black Gold. My name's Kerry Lee Harding and I'm the producer of the series. Each episode was created right here in the studios of 3CR Community Radio on Wurundjeri land in Fitzroy, Melbourne, together with assistant producer Corey Green. Throughout the Black Gold series, we'll take you from the 1970s through to the present day, with a look at how Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander broadcasters at 3CR covered some incredible community events and significant political struggles. We'll attend a land rights meeting in 1978, celebrate the life of broadcaster Lisa Belair, and hear about the success of the campaign to save Northland Secondary College. We'll also reflect back on the anti-bicentenary actions in 1988 and get up to date with the ongoing struggle for sovereignty and treaty. Just a warning to all our listeners, you will hear voices of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have passed. And now, episode 2 of the Black Gold series. Let's agitate in 88 with presenter Kelly McGuinness.
1988 was the anniversary of 200 years of British invasion, and the Australian government decided it was a good time to get out the flags, snags, and whip up some patriotism. Far from celebrating, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders made it their mission to show the world the true meaning of the anniversary, 200 years of brutal genocide and a proud history of resistance. As always, 3CR was in the thick of the action. John Harding, 3CR's Aboriginal project officer, from the Kuku and Miriam Mer people, took a crew up to Sydney to broadcast and represent the Melbourne mob in the huge protests against the official celebrations and the First Fleet reenactment. Closer to home, 3CR presenters were central in organising and broadcasting a First Fleet de-enactment at the Fitzroy Pool. In 1988, like many years before and after, 3CR broadcast Indigenous voices from Melbourne's Invasion Day March.
As the First Fleet reenactment draws near, Aboriginal groups across Australia are mobilising for our national protest in Sydney on Australia Day, the 26th of January. 3CR and 3RRR will be crossing live to Sydney, where Aboriginal broadcasters Johnny Harding and Joel Wright will keep you informed of events as they happen, from Hyde Park to Botany Bay. Bulletins will be given every 2 hours, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Hear Black History being made on 3CR, 3RRR. Tuesday the 26th of January, we'll tell it like it really is.
This is a show that was broadcast at Radio Redfern on the 24th of January 1988, just 2 days before Invasion Day and the big bicentenary protests. It was simulcast on 3CR and 3RRR. This is John Harding, Alf Bamblett, Alistair Thorpe and Bobby Nichols. They were part of the Melbourne mob who had travelled up to Sydney and were staying at La Perouse. La Perouse is significant because it's one of the few places around Sydney continuously settled by local Aboriginal families since invasion. Being at the entrance of Botany Bay, it was the perfect place to intercept the First Fleet reenactment.
Yes, that was, what's it called again, that song? I've forgotten now. But you're listening to, from Radio Redfern live, John Harding from 3CR from Melbourne. We're up here for the long weekend of Koori protests. And I've got some Victorians, the Victorian mob that came up yesterday. We finally arrived. We had a few problems with the bus. One of the buses had an accident. And no one was hurt, fortunately. And maybe Alf, I wasn't on the bus. I didn't come up with the Victorian mob, but maybe Alf can tell us a little bit about what happened with the busloader fellas that come up.
Just a bit of inexperienced driving, I think, John, and no more than anything. But don't panic, everybody's okay. A couple of people banged about, some wet clothes, and that's about it. But We're here. Certainly Victoria's here in force, and it's I tell you what, it's really something to be a part of.
Yeah, see, the La Perouse settlement has been arranged, and there are some, I'd say about 800 to 1,000 Aboriginal people from all over the country camping there at the moment. There are other various centres that have been organised by the Uniting Church and by the La Perouse mob to accommodate the Kuris, Murrays, Noongars and Noongars that have come up and down from Australia, from Tasmania, from the Kimberleys, from Darwin, Alice Springs, Perth, Adelaide, and of course Fitzroy. And we're all here in solidarity, and we're just still getting our act together here for this Tuesday, the long march. The long march actually started probably a week ago for some people. It came from Darwin and the Kimberleys. The Victorian mob left a couple of days ago themselves, but now we're all here, and we're preparing for the march on Tuesday. I've got in the studio with me at the moment from Victoria, Alistair Thorpe, who works at the Aboriginal Advancement League, and Bobby Nichols from the Aboriginal Housing Board in Fitzroy, and Alf Bamblett, the convener of the Victorian Coalition of Aboriginal Organisations. We're going to have a yarn to you over the next 45 minutes or so about the Victorian perspective, why we're here, what we hope to achieve. Alistair, would you like to have a little rap with me here, brothers, about...
Sure, mate.
I just want to ask you, what was the purpose from the Victorian Coalition's point of view? What was the purpose of us coming up here and organising the buses to get up here, Elmore?
Well, our main purpose was to come up here and show our solidarity as the Victorian mob with all the other communities around Australia gathering in Sydney over this weekend and the next few days, and, of course, the 26th. We certainly see it as extremely important for us as Victorian Aboriginal people to participate in these anti-bicentenary demonstrations, and we're here in full force in Sydney. There's something like 400 Kuris from throughout Victoria up here, and of course our non-Aboriginal solidarity group is right behind us as well. So we're looking for a solid march on the Tuesday, 26th.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning that the Aboriginal Rights Solidarity Group were one of the main forces behind getting the funding raised for the Victorian Kuris, Alistair.
Yeah, they put in their efforts, and we raised a significant amount of money to get our people up here, and thanks to all those solidarity group people and also all the Koori organisations in Melbourne and country Victoria who supported our Freedom Fund drive, and we raised enough money to get many Aboriginal people up here from Victoria at minimum cost to those people.
Yeah, and also I just wanted to talk a little bit about what's been set up here in Sydney and Redfern. Is that out at Lady Macquarie's Chair, which is just next to the Sydney Opera House, right in the harbour there. There's the reenactment was originally going to take place at Farm Cove, which is right next to the Opera House. We've been told since I've been up here, I got up here Thursday, we just found out that the reenactment has made an amendment to their schedule, and they aren't landing. There will be no official reenactment. There will be no soldiers in red coming off the ships and onto Farm Cove, since they found out the full force of the Aboriginal movement of Australia is here in Sydney. They've amended their plans, and now I've heard that they're going to actually, I think, just sail into the harbour, past the harbour, and out again. And we've really nullified the effect of the bicentennial in Sydney in terms of the First Fleet reenactment, Alistair.
Yeah, I think that's a significant thing. At this stage, it's a sail past at the moment. They're not going to land. There's a blackout in Sydney, and it's certainly put the wind up all these gubs and their celebrations.
There's also a Aboriginal tent embassy that's been set up at Lady Macquarie's Chair there, and there's I think the Aboriginal Legal Service in Sydney initiated it last Saturday, the 16th of January, and they've been there for now 8 days, and the international media, I've been here since Thursday, and the international media have been crawling all over any blackfellow they can get their hands on that's been around Lady Macquarie's Chair. I've seen Dutch journalists, German journalists, English journalists, and one Soviet journalist, which I was pretty surprised to see. There was a Soviet lad there, and he was very keen to talk to the Kuris. And if you look at what Gorbachev said last month in December to Bob Hawke when he went to Russia, they're really looking for some political points to score against Australia and America, and that was a fine opportunity. We are their fine opportunity, because they want to talk to us and find out the real truth about this so-called bicentennial.
Yeah, well, that's where one of our biggest impacts going to be is the international media. And as you say, Koori can't walk past and without being jumped on by international media or local media, and they want to tell the story about Black Australia internationally, and it's a perfect opportunity for us to utilise this. And maybe our chairman of the coalition, Alf, might want to elaborate a little further on that.
Yeah, we'll just slide the mic over here to the convener of Victorian Coalition of Aboriginal Organisations, Mr. Alf Bamblett.
It's certainly something to see, and it is incredible that you have to have an event that is held in recognition of 200 that of something that's caused 200 years of oppression for Aboriginal people, for us as blacks in this country, Aboriginal people of this country, to get the sort of attention to the things that we have been saying all along. And that is, you know, we've got this, the worst house, we're the low man on the socioeconomic scale in this country. We've been forced to be beggars in our own country. There are things, certainly, as was stated quite clearly by some of the speakers today, that should never, ever happen to anyone that has happened to Aboriginals in this country. And it's an indictment of the system. It's an indictment of the way that history of the colonisation of the country has been written. And it's an indictment on each and every person who plays a part in the legislation and the policies and the programs that are imposed on Aboriginal people. And there needs to be, and there is certainly, and it's pleasing to see, there is an awakening, not only the activities in Black Australia, but certainly in non-Aboriginal Australia, who are supporting the sorts of things that we're on about. The media obviously sees that there is a hell of a lot that is wrong. There's a hell of a lot that the Australian government and governments, not only the present one, but the ones in the past, who have been guilty of attempts at genocide. And there is that recognition today. And particularly when you get Hawke telling the Russians out to run their business. Particularly when you get the people from Australia interfering in the politics of other countries. South Africa is one of them. You only have to look also at the Canuck brothers and sisters and the difficulties they've got there. You have a look at all of the things that are happening around the world that Australia is saying, well, you know, the treatment of the natives, the indigenous peoples there is so bad, and this is wrong with your country, that's wrong with your country, without thinking about the hypocrisy that the history of the colonisation of this country is based on. And I've said it before to you, John, and I guess I'll say it again, I am amazed at the lack of depth of the humanity of non-Aboriginal Australia and the uncaring approach that it has not only to blacks, to Aboriginal people, but certainly to non-Aboriginal people in this country. Got a soapbox, bud.
I'm just going to diverge a little bit from that. How would you... You've been to La Perouse, you've seen what's happening out there. It's the most... Well, in my brief lifetime, it's the most exciting Aboriginal get-together I've ever seen in my life. And how would you describe it, Alf, the feeling out there at La Perouse?
It's incredible, but I mean, I lived a little bit longer than you, I tell you what, it's just really something to see so many blacks from all over the country together in one place, and certainly trying to have their voice heard together. There obviously one or two minor hiccups, but boy, it really is something there. The spirit of togetherness and the way that people are looking. People from all parts of the country, they do all sorts of different things, mate, all with one accord. And that's to make sure that Aboriginal Australia is heard. It's happening sort of as a lead up to whatever day, Tuesday, isn't it? And I get it will continue for some time. What we have to do is take the opportunity to build on that togetherness so that the spirit of the of the anti-Australia Day activities, the anti-bicentennial or the anti-discovery date of 200 years ago, that sort of approach continues. So that the people that you get to know, the friendships that are formed, the contacts that are made, are used to ensure that the fight for the survival of Aboriginal people, the physical survival, the spirit that we're talking about of being one, and certainly the culture is maintained and enhanced constantly, so that we go on to build on an opportunity to build something out of what a day that has caused so much degradation for our people.
Yeah, just following on from that, I was there yesterday when the Northern Territory convoy pulled into La Perouse and came in through the gates, and there were at La Perouse there's the mission there, and in the mission all the mob came out and they stood on the gates along the fence, and as the Northern Territory mob pulled up, the convoy, which is also South Australian mob were with them, and some Victorians were with them too, and as they pulled up I saw the women crying, and that was the feeling of the beautiful feeling, the spiritual feeling that was there and symbolised, I thought, the unity that's is created here in Sydney over the next 3 days. And those women really felt it, and that's that feeling, that's why we're here, and that's what we're hoping to carry on from this weekend. Is only a weekend, and as Alf often says, after the party's over and the candles are blown out, we're still going to be here, and we've still got to work out, you know, our way of surviving here. And that was that spiritual feeling that I saw in those women from the mission when they come out and they were crying and waving at the buses. That was that symbolised to me, that summed up everything. That's what we're here for, that sort of unity. That was great.
John, is there any truth in the rumour that Ali's been spreading, and they'll hear it in Melbourne when we get back, that you were, there's a big lump in your throat and you were seen to shed a tear or two, or what? Is that gammon about that one?
Yeah, I got a little bit emotional. Actually, I wasn't sure whether it was a deer or whether it was the rain, because when they were pulling up, we were getting raining cats and dogs, and we were trying to put the tents up. But I must admit, it shook me a little bit too. And there's Lionel Bamblett, who's the manager of the Victorian Aboriginal Education Association, as he quite aptly and summed it up quite well. He said, geez, when they come in, he said, I just tingled all over. And that's exactly what I felt too. And it's only a thing I think that Aboriginal people can understand, that sort of feeling, that solidarity and that spirituality that comes through. And regardless of the rumours that have been spread in the last 200 years, yes, there is a culture in Melbourne, yes, there is a culture in Sydney, and yes, there is a culture in Brisbane. We are just as cultural and as Aboriginal as we've always been. And that shows, and it is showing itself to be stronger and stronger over this next 3 days and the last 3 days here in La Perouse and in Redfern and in Sydney. I just wondered, Alf, if you could just swing the mic over to your right a little bit. I just want to say hello to Bobby Nichols, who's the working for the Victorian Aboriginal Housing Board in Fitzroy, and he might have a few cheerios to say out there. Bobby, have you fixed up that scrap with your wife yet? Do you want to say hello to her over here?
Won't go into that, John. It's been a really big buzz coming up here, seeing all the Aboriginal people from all over Australia. As Johnny pointed out before, we just got back from Bondi, and there's big heaps of Koori people down in Bondi enjoying all the Koori music, along with Midnight Oil.
Mr. Peter Garrett was there this afternoon with Gary Foley on the stage. That was good to see. Solidarity there. And Bobby's bit caught for words, I think, but he's expressing, I think it's his first time on radio, but he's expressing his feeling about what it's like to be up here in Redfern, and it is... It's the only one word I can think of for it. Maybe it's a Fitzroy word, but it's a buzz. And just on that, we saw this afternoon, we actually saw, for the first time for me, I don't know about the boys here, but the first time I've ever seen Bobby McLeod and Roger Knox on stage live, and they were electrifying, they were brilliant. And also Maureen Watson spoke this afternoon at the Bondi Pavilion, did one of the stories that she's written, sums up the last 200 years, the white invasion, and also sums up their future. She sums it up quite well, I thought. And Jim McClellan spoke, and Senator Joe Valentine speaking as well. So it's the unity, the solidarity and the support is growing and it's mounting. And there were also, I should mention, there was a hell of a lot of non-Aboriginal people there. I don't know how many, but maybe they must have been in there several hundreds, maybe 1,000 non-Aboriginal people there expressing their support, and that's only going to add to the power that we're going to have this Tuesday. And the first indication of it has already happened. The reenactment has been altered. There will be no reenactment. For those of you in Melbourne that don't know, there will be no official reenactment. The ships are now sailing into the harbour, putting the flag up on the ships and sailing out of the harbour, and that's it. And this is the obvious impact of Aboriginal people across the country. When we get unity and solidarity together, we're unbeatable, aren't we, Bob?
Yep, that's right, John.
And I'd just speaking about the lad himself, we might go to a track.
Listen to the sounds about me, didn't give me any peace. I was sick of all the hurt and all the screaming.
That was John Harding, who was 3CR's Aboriginal Project Officer, and he was talking with Alf Bamblett, Alistair Thorpe and Bobby Nichols. This audio was taken at Radio Redfern in Sydney and simulcast on 3CR and 3RRR as part of the 1988 bicentenary protests.
Yes, that was Mr. Bobby McLeod, the Resurrection Song. You're listening to the Victorian Courier live from Radio Redfern, Cope Street, Redfern, and we'll be carrying you through to the next for the next 20 minutes. Also want to mention just here that if you've just tuned in, that we are also broadcasting tomorrow from Radio Redfern at 5 o'clock again. Apologise for being a little bit late, but the traffic up here is unbelievable. I'm sure they all get their licences out of cornflakes packets up here. None of these guys can drive. But up here in Sydney, it's now 5:30, and we've got some Victorian representatives sitting in the studio, Mr. Alistair Thorpe, Mr. Bobby Nichols and Mr. Alf Bamblett. And we just wanted to continue on a little bit to give a little bit more information. For those of you that are pretty uninformed, and I've heard in the last couple of days that Victoria is getting very, very, very little information about the Aboriginal movement up here. You're hearing a lot about the tall ships and the First Fleet, but you're not hearing anything about the Aboriginal movement up here and what's been organised up here in La Perouse and in Redfern. And that's obvious, we expect that. The media has never really been our best friend. And once again, it's continuing. And they're trying to push the Bicentennial Party rather than to get to the heart of the matter, as we put it, the real truth, the black truth. So we'd like to keep you informed in the next 20 minutes a little bit about what's happening up here. And remember, this is being simulcast on 3RRR and 3CR. So if you can't pick up FM, if you only got a little tranny on your ear, tune in to AM. Get on the 3CR. All right, Alf. I'm sitting with Mr. Alf Bamblett. I just wanted to ask Alf a little bit about the Victorian Coalition of Aboriginal Organisations, a brief background on their development and also on their perspective towards what we want to achieve in Sydney this weekend and Tuesday.
Coalition started two and a half, three years ago, Bob. Certainly with the aim of looking at developing the unity, developing the sort of approach that needs to be in this time of scarce resources, money, the whole work, the whole box and dice, so that we can get into to doing, making the sort of improvements that are needed. Looking at issues that have come up since the formation of the coalition, you know, things like treaty, things like where to with what's happening, you know, during 88. There's a whole heap of issues that the Victorian Coalition has been discussing and addressing in some measure. Certainly the opportunity has been provided for a lot of Victorian couriers to be up there, as Alice has said before, through the coalition, and certainly through the efforts of people like the Aboriginal Rights Solidarity Group and the Trade Union Support Group. What we're looking for, obviously, Johnny, is for the voice of Aboriginal people together to be heard, and saying, well, you know, what utter rubbish to say that there is no civilization here before 200 years ago. And it's a scientific fact that the burial grounds and what's been found in those places throughout Australia have indicated a system
of life, an organized lifestyle, organized community lifestyle, well beyond that of 200 years. And if you look at the way that science talks about societies and how long they've been around, that's one of the major things that they look for. So when you're talking civilization, obviously there needs to be the recognition of Aboriginal civilization in this country, so that you can have the undisputable fact that sovereignty is something that's real. Sovereignty is something that needs to be recognised fully, not partially by government, but fully by government, so that we no longer have to be beggars in our own country. We no longer have to make the attempts to rewrite history or to tell the truth. And truth is what most people are after. Tell the truth of the invasion of this country, and tell the truth of the European colonisation of this country, and say that there is an Aboriginal perspective to the last 200 years of this country. Let's not forget one thing, Bob, that if you look at the last 200 years on the face of a watch, it's less than a minute compared to the time of Aboriginal people in this country.
Yeah, another statistic for those people out there. I like educating you with these statistics. And another one is that if we all die tomorrow, there'd be 200,000 white people out of work. So there's another interesting statistic that you should remember, that we could push your doll figures up by thousands. But that's another little side issue. But I agree wholeheartedly with what Elf said. And I just wanted to ask, Alistair's sitting there next to Elf. I just wanted to ask Alistair a little bit about with our trip up here, what do we hope will come out of this for Victoria this year and from now on?
Well, I expect a great deal more unity within our own state will be achieved by this gathering here in Sydney, and not only within our own state, but of course with other communities throughout Australia. Now, I recall in 82 when we went to Brisbane, the flow-on from that Brisbane Games demonstration back in Aboriginal communities throughout Australia was excellent. A number of positive initiatives developed from that. And, of course, one was the Koori Information Centre in Melbourne, and a number of other information-type centres throughout the country as well. So I expect a great deal of positive initiatives to develop from this gathering here in Sydney as well.
Right, thanks a lot, Alistair, for that.
That audio was from January 24, 1988, 2 days before Invasion Day. The audio was simulcast on 3CR and 3RRR as part of the bicentenary protests.
You're listening to an episode of the five-part series Black Gold. Produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne, Black Gold uncovers and celebrates the rich Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander contributions to radio across four decades.
It's January 26, 1988, 200 years since the first fleet landing. There is a large choir of Aussie kids waving flags. Quavery voices sing rhyming couplets that can only have been written by a committee of bureaucrats. Suddenly, this insipid vision of Australia is smashed. Starting at Redfern Oval, over 40,000 people march through the city of Sydney to demand acknowledgement of their experience of the last 200 years of Australia. These protesters gather in Hyde Park for healing truth and wisdom from their elders. These words are from Galaroi Yunupingu, who is a member of the Gumitj clan of the Yolngu people.
It's nice to see black and white together on a very important day. Isn't that beautiful? Give a clap for yourselves. In a hope that this kind of relationship should start as from today onwards and established properly. And with that relationship, I would like to point out some of the important points. I never seen so many faces, both black and white, in any funeral ever. And this is the biggest crowd I've ever seen to mourn the injustice of the past, in a hope that there will be better future for all of us in this nation. My point on the behalf of all Aboriginal people and the Aboriginal people that we represent here is only part of Australia. I only wish that all Aboriginal people who are still sitting in their communities and hoping that they would be here would almost take over all of Sydney if they were here. But nevertheless, our presence, we hope that the message will get through to the present government and to the government, whoever is in power to control the nation and its future. The gathering here is expressing one simple message, that Aboriginal people in the last 200 years have survived. And we will survive. And let me say, we have been here, we are here, and we will be here. People of this nation have asked a lot of questions. And that question is, why is Aboriginal people trying through their struggle for land? The land, as I know, that was taught to me by my elders in my day of living since I was born, and that education is a life. A land is a total life to Aboriginal people of this land. And that understanding is being tried to make clear to the people who has not yet understood or tried to understand what Aboriginal people is talking about. This gathering is passing on a message to the government, and they are simply just few yards away from here, ignoring and saying happy birthday to Australia. And while they calling out happy birthday to Australia, every black man and a white man who is practically thinking, clearly thinking, and supporting the cause of Aboriginal people's struggle, we are saying that that is all wrong. Aboriginal people have lived more than 200 years. This continent is older and it doesn't deserve a birthday party anymore. Our years of 40,000 celebration each moment of our lives are a stronger message to the world and to its heroes, the gods who have created everything that is on this land. Make 200 years look like a shit. The kings and the queens representations are being made to this nation at this very moment. and they are the rulers. They are the powers. But we know that this land is more powerful than the men first landed here on the behalf of the kings and the queen, that this land is stronger than the rulers who rule this particular land. The land is the boss, the victor, and the oldest, the most ancient in the world today. An Aboriginal race of this country, the oldest race in the world. And through all that understanding, we are expressing that and giving that message across to the people who are still ignorant what this land is all about and what Aboriginal people believe. I only hope that the next 200 years is the years as we make them, year after year, to meet the next 200 years is somewhat that simple people, and Aboriginal people are very simple people, to make and to meet the next 200 years with the guidance of justice. Justice and well-being for both white Australians and Aboriginal Australians, to meet the next 200 years with unity. And it is very clearly understood, with the guidance of good leadership among the Aboriginal communities who have met here, with their understanding that this march and this gathering is to unify all Australians, so that whatever we have to fight for Aboriginal people to achieve in the next 200 years is justice and peace and self-determining powers given to Aboriginal people on the basis of that core value which is more close to our hearts and to our mind, the land. The land that Aboriginal people were pushed away from. We want our ceremonies. We want our language. We want our stories told to our children. We want to sing. We want to dance. And why do we do it? We want to talk to our land and the land to talk to us. And that is very, very important as a message. We don't celebrate here of the bicentennial. We are wiping out that bad history that cannot be wiped out unless there is justice and unity on this land.
Those words were from Galaroi Yunupingu, who is a member of the Gumatj clan of the Yolngu people. They were spoken at Sydney's Hyde Park to a crowd of 40,000 people on Invasion Day 1988. While the main action may have been in Sydney, Melbourne Couries also held a protest on this day. 3CR's Denise Chevalier talks to Wayne Thorpe, while Colleen Hartland speaks with Bobby Lovett.
Yesterday, about 1,000 people in Melbourne marched in support of Aboriginal rights. They marched from the Aboriginal Health Service in Gertrude Street to the flag-raising ceremony in the city square. I went along too. The flag was being raised just as we reached the city square.
2, 4, 6, 8.
The march then left the city square and went to a place down near the Maya Music Bowl, which is significant to Aboriginal people. Wayne Thorpe explains.
The people that surveyed our people,
dig up our bones, our ancestors' bones, and survey them. What you must know that what that name is. Anyway, that was locked up in storage at the Victorian Museum. Now, our legal service and our community asked for them to be reburied, because we didn't feel that in storage in some museum was appropriate for our ancestors. So therefore, we're here. We finish off our march today in mourning at the reburial site.
3CR's Colleen Hartland was also on the march.
I'm speaking to Bobby Lovett. How do you feel this all went today?
Tell you the truth, I reckon it was an excellent march. And the way all the people, the white and the black, and the Kuis and the white people, I reckon it was really good.
It seemed to be a bit different than other marches I've been on, people on the side actually clapping and cheering people on, whereas a few years ago it would have been kind of beer cans thrown. I know there was one incident in the city square with a yobbo, but basically people seem to be a lot more supportive this time than they have in the past.
Well, maybe in a way they're starting to realise, you know, we've been here 200 years and it's what you call so-called bicentennial, you know, and they call it the celebration of a nation. You know, maybe they're starting, I wish they start realising anyway, to tell the truth. I just wish we could all get together as one and let the children have their say and let the people have their say.
I'm speaking to Wayne Thorpe at the end of the march. How do you feel it all went?
Well, I think that a lot of the white celebrants that woke up this morning think that it's a lovely day, let's have a party. I think that they got a shock, which was good. That all of a sudden they were waiting for all these parades to happen, bands and things. They were lined up along the streets. So then all of a sudden a big group of Aboriginal protesters come along and stuck a hole right in their celebration. I think that now they've become more aware of what's going to be happening with Aboriginal people and what Aboriginal people have been trying to put up with and surviving. We have survived.
It's one of the defining images of Australia's so-called settlement. The 11 ships with their white sails and their white men wearing red shirts and holding guns, planting their flag, claiming this new land for their queen. At the bicentenary celebrations in Sydney, the reenactment of these events had already been stopped by the force of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander movement. In Melbourne, they were to be reinterpreted in an altogether unique way with the Flat Fleet, a First Fleet reenactment. Flat Fleet was the work of many, including Deb Welch, Susan Duffy, Hamish Trumbull, Lisa Belair, Destiny Deacon, Nancy Atkin and Joy Murphy.
Over the years, 3CR has been proud to be involved in special broadcasts. From the beginning, 3CR could be found at community events, concerts, rallies and the local pool. In 1988, a special week-long live broadcast from the Fitzroy Pool cut through the white hype of celebrating 200 years of invasion.
Flatfleet. Flatfleet. Melbourne's only first fleet de-enactment. Flatfleet. Flatfleet. Melbourne's only first fleet de-enactment.
Hello everybody, you're on Community Radio 3CR and some of you are live here at the Fitzroy Swimming Pool for Flat Fleet, Melbourne's only First Fleet de-enactment. This is your opportunity to join in. You're going to have some difficulty avoiding all the hoopla that's associated with 200 years of white settlement in this country. But today we're going to have some hoopla here of our own, and it's of an entirely different sort. We're going to celebrate the survival of the Aboriginal people and show our support for their demands for justice in this year. So 3CR is inviting you to have fun in the water whilst participating in some group anti-bicentennial activity.
Now, there's been a rumour that the Queen and Captain Arthur Phillip are going to force their way into our flat fleet sinking. We'll do something about that in just a minute. We'll also be hosting the first, well, the inaugural anti-bicentennial boat race. That'll be racing across the pool somewhere in about half an hour, three quarters of an hour. We'll be inviting all of you to take part in this race. It's a race for the land on the other side of the Fitzroy Pool, and we'll just give it to you if you win it. We'll also have a ceremonial sinking of the fleet around about 11:30. Everybody gets to jump in and squash boats, which will be a great deal of fun for all of you. So there's still time to get down here on Alexander Parade. Before, there was a rumour going around that there was going to be a couple of uninvited guests here, and it seems that they have indeed turned up. I think we should get them up on stage and ask them to account for their actions. This appears to be Captain Arthur Phillip. I'd just like to ask you what, in fact...
Right there.
What, in fact, you're doing here today?
Well, here we are. It's a lovely day. We've come all the way from England to take this place. It's a nice place. I think we should have it.
Well, I don't think anybody really invited you here today.
Ah, what the matter?
You think you can just turn up here and join in something and nobody's ever said, you know, please come? Nobody sent you an RSVP, a little gilt edge card or anything?
Ours is the right. I take this swimming pool in the name of my monarch.
I'd just like to ask the crowd here what they think of this sort of attitude. Come on.
I can see they're so pleased.
I don't think the crowd seems to be terribly keen to see you here. How do you react to that?
How extraordinary.
You think that's extraordinary?
Extraordinary.
Well, it seems you've come all this way, Arthur, just to set up a few tents.
Yes.
Don't you think that's a bit of a waste of time?
Well, we shall see what comes of it.
Take your tents, take the Buckingham
Palace.
Well, how many people have you brought with you?
Oh, just some convicts.
Some convicts?
Some layabouts from the old country.
And what are you going to do with them when they're here?
Set them to work.
Set them to work.
To build a better place.
To
take this beautiful but undeveloped country and make it nicer, more English, don't you think? Rather.
Well, I think the crowd here at the Fitzroy Pool is making their feelings very well known as to what they think of this visitor here. We might try and get hold of the other one in just a minute. Well, if you'd just like to move along, thank you, Arthur. We've really had quite enough of you at the moment. So, just thank you.
Flatfleet. Melbourne's only first fleet de-enactment. Flatfleet.
We're back at the Fitzroy Swimming Pool. We've just confronted Captain Arthur Phillip about his role here today. We're not quite sure what he's going to get up to, but we'll keep an eye on him. But he seems to have brought with him, or she has brought him with her. Who are you?
My dear girl, I am your monarch.
The Queen.
The only Queen, your monarch, in this colony. And my husband and I are extremely happy to declare this colony open.
Well, I think this colony, there was going on a bit before you got here, really.
Oh, my dear girl. This was totally empty.
Well,
Loyal objects.
Don't you normally leave these sort of political things to your lackeys, like governor generals and so forth?
My dear girl, I don't think you understand. You people in the colonies really don't. Oh, God bless you all.
You've just walked into the pool and we're going to have a nice time here, and I don't think anybody really asked you to be here.
I declare it open.
Well, thank you very much. Well, off you go now.
My dear girl, and loyal objects, God bless, God bless.
Look, Look, there's a sensation here at the Fitzroy Swimming Pool. Our uninvited guests, the Queen and Captain Arthur Phillip, have ascended thrones in the middle of the pool, and they are floating round rather imperiously in the middle of the pool. A crowd is gathered at the edge of the pool. Photographers are taking photos. It's basically ruining our First Fleet de-enactment here. We're not quite sure what we're going to do. It's a very interesting situation here, with enormous socio-political, cultural, socio-economic ramifications. But luckily, a beacon of and a guru to the local intelligentsia is here. And, of course, you know who I mean. From 3CR's Who Dares Listens, Tim McDonanda.
Oh, excellent. Hi there. I'm here. It's amazing. You're all daring to be here at the Fitzroy Bars. And this is just typical what these royalist, monarchist, fascists represent. They come in here in our swimming pool as representatives of the moneyed real estate boomers who have come into Fitzroy and kicked out all us intelligent people out to Northcote, right? And these royalists are going to be in aqua profonda by the end of this session. We want to see blue blood, and the Fitzroy Bars is going to be blue with blue blood. It's just going to be amazing.
Tim, maybe if you sort of go over there and sort of get it all organised,
okay.
We could actually have blood in the pool.
It's just excellent here. Are you feeling angry? We're furious. You know, everyone here is really furious. We live in Fitzroy, and these people have kicked us out to Northcote. We're furious. Are you angry? He's really biffed. Are you angry?
Oh, yeah.
How are you feeling?
There's been a major crisis. The Queen has toppled in. It's a sensation here at the Fitzroy Pool.
What a way to go. Do you think there's any lifeguard here who might be willing to save the Queen? Let her drown is the general consensus. And how are you feeling? Are you miffed?
It's done a terrible thing to her perm, really. It's a tragedy to see.
Right, I mean, well, it's more like a temp rather than a perm, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Unbelievable.
And why are those bugs going to come here?
I don't know. Well, they just come here, they set their throne up and call it home. Okay, well, I think all the kids have got to get together and go in and topple Prince, what's his face over there, Arthur Phillip. This is a sort of royal it's a knockout type situation. He has been. He didn't last long at all, really. I mean, it's just as well the real ones are in England, isn't it? Because, I mean, beach balls don't fly that far. Okay, well, that's about the de-enactment, I think.
You think they're in the drink?
They're in the brink. They're in an aqua profonda type situation.
Well, we've got rid of them.
And I think they're just being put out of their misery now.
Well, maybe we can get you to cross poolside after a little break, Tim, and just find out how they feel after the crowd has disposed of them in this fashion.
I will attempt to interview the fascists.
All right. Well, we'll just cross to a track. You're on 3CR Flat Fleet. It's Melbourne's only First Fleet de-enactment, and it's live at the Fitzroy Swimming Pool. You've still got time to get down here if you're at home. Bring your boat and participate in the boat race. It's coming up next, but we're just going to go now to a track from the Warumpi band, Warumpinya. Just like to cross now to poolside, where Tim McDonanda has got the sunken Queen and Captain Arthur Phillip there, and he's just going to ask them how they feel.
Right, here I am at poolside. Thanks, Deb. We have a dethroned Queen. She's very upset. She's looking rather like a drowned rat. Your Majesty, you've been sent to a watery grave by your so-called loyal object. How do you feel?
Oh, cad. You cad. How dare you... speak to me at this moment.
But don't you think that maybe the residents of Fitzroy and the loyal objects of this Fitzroy Bath want to send you to Davy Jones' locker? Have you met Davy Jones?
Oh. Arthur, Philip.
Majesty. And what about you, namesake of Port Phillip Bay? How do you feel about it?
Extraordinarily... How dare you? How dare you, sir? Treat your gracious sovereign this way.
Pelted by beach balls from your so-called royal context.
It's a disgrace. A disgrace like this.
Are you thinking of punitive measures?
Yes.
Flatfix. Melbourne's only first D-enactment. Flatfix.
Backbeat.
That was Flat Fleet, a First Fleet de-enactment, featuring Susan Duffy and Hamish Trumbull as the Queen and King. For Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders across Australia, 1988 was not a cause for celebration, but marked 200 years of a creeping, brutal genocide. In these recordings, we can hear the kind of smart, strong and creative resistance that was the key to 200 years of survival.
Thank you to presenter Kelly Mack, 3CR broadcaster from back in the day. You've been listening to Black Gold, a five-part series unearthing some of our finest audio from across four decades in the 3CR archives. The Black Gold series was produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio on Wurundjeri land in Fitzroy, Melbourne, by myself, Kerry Lee Harding, and assistant producer Corey Green. The series was financially supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Thanks so much for listening, and if you'd like to listen again or find out more about this unique series, head to 3cr.org.au/blackgold. I look forward to your company next time. See you later.